Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
Righty. We're adding so many new families to our church. Make sure you're making new friends and inviting, making new acquaintances. Just really excited. I had a matter of fact, there's just so many great things going on. I can't even begin to tell you all of them. It'd take all night, but just so many new families joining our church that are just caliber people, just incredible caliber people. So if you see someone, how many of you know you can go to this church 12 years and still meet new people that you haven't ever met because they sit on one side or go to a different service? Listen, that's exactly what heaven's going to be like. So we're practicing for heaven. Say amen. Being a disciple is not just one thing. I want you to write this down. There are five dimensions of discipleship in spiritual formation. And boy, has the Holy Spirit given me an object lesson and a training in that in the last 7 days. So much that I'm going to do a whole sermon series on soul ties. You got to love the Word of God. We've talked about that in detail. You have to pray without ceasing. We've talked about that. Last week, we talked about worshiping God in spirit and in truth, which is so important. There's a difference between praise and worship. And today, we're going to talk about listening to the voice of God. You ever wondered why when you speak to God, they call it prayer, but when God speaks back to you, they call it schizophrenia? How many of you know God does speak? Amen. And so those of you just joining us, we are in the midst of releasing, and I'm going to just talk as a pastor's heart tonight. We're in the midst of releasing a discipleship process for adults in this church. Very extensive. I'm going to be able to give you a test. Most of you, some of you are going to start in October. Give you a test by the first of the year. And I'm going to help you to judge your spiritual walk with God based on five dimensions. Spiritual formation is one of them. Your soul, your body, your spirit, your mind, your intellect. Personal wholeness is the second one. Healthy relationships is the third one. Vocational clarity, your purpose in the church. Number four and five, God's purpose for you at work in economics. So there's five dimensions, but there are 35 outcomes. So this is a dimension of spiritual formation. It's a dimension of discipleship, but there are outcomes. And so we've got three down, and now we're going to do four. So let's look at the fourth outcome. How many of you want to be like Jesus or be a disciple? Can I see hands? All righty. Excuse me, I'm just all over the place up here. All right. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 10, verse 27. John chapter 10, verse 27. I love John. I'm enamored with this guy. I went to his church there in Turkey. I've been at his gravesite. We found it. We know exactly where it is. Even the Muslims will tell you he's buried there. John chapter 10, verse 27. I like John because John writes like he's sitting underneath the tree and just reminiscing about his relationship with Jesus. John chapter 10, verse 27. Okay, here it is. You ready? My sheep hear my voice. So before you can hear the voice of God, you got to be a sheep. I was dealing with someone highly dysfunctional. I've dealt with them several times, to be honest with you, in the last week. And I mean capital D dysfunctional. And I looked at him, I said, you know what your real problem is? Your soul is tired. And had a tear come down the corner of his eyes, and he said, yeah, you're right. My soul's exhausted. For you to hear the voice of God, you got to be a sheep. And that sounds so simple, but he says, my sheep know my voice. And so you have to give your life over fully to Jesus Christ before you can ever hear him speak to you. He wants to speak to you. So he says, my sheep hear my voice. He didn't say, and look here, my sheep, what do? They hear his voice. not competing voices. Now, how do you hear the voice of God? Number one, it's always going to line up with God's word. You're never going to hear a voice in your spirit that claims to be God that's going to tell you to do something contradictory to the word of God. I've had people come up and say, God told me to leave my husband. I ask him a question. Has he committed adultery on you? No. Has he beat you profusely? No. Then God didn't speak to you. Because the word of God says something different. If the word of God, if somebody comes up and says, well, God says, I had a battered woman this week. I was counseling. Her husband beat the snot out of her. You know what she looked at me and said? Susanna, she looked at me and said, well, he has to get his rage out somehow today. Battered women can't get out of being battered because they feel like they deserve it too often. How many of you women in here know he needs not to try it even one time? Okay? That's not scriptural. So if a woman or a man says to me, I'm committing adultery on my wife, and that's happened to me, I've been told that in the last 7 days, and it's God's will, you're full of malarkey. Because the Bible says that's a sin. So don't ever say that it's the voice of God when it goes against the word of God. Amen? Also, when you're praying without ceasing, you're connected. You're knowing, gnosko in the Greek, intimate knowledge. So you're praying and you know God's voice because you've spent time with him before. When you're worshiping him in your spirit and with the word of God, these things serve as a buffer to hear the voice of God. Too many people want to claim to hear the voice of God or see a light, and the light they're seeing is a train. So there, you have to be careful with this one, because how many of you know there's a lot of goofy people say they heard the voice of God. So the voice of God in your spiritual formation is fourth, because it's the word of God is first. How many of you know the word's infallible? Say amen. And then praying without ceasing is building an intimate connection between you and God in your spirit, specifically your soul. And worshiping him in spirit and in truth, where there's an intimate connection. And I'm so excited we're adding so many new people to the praise and worship team. And I want to see worship just go to a new level in this church. And then worshiping in spirit and truth, you've got this experience with God to where you know him, but it's based on the word of God. So you bring all this stuff down to where you listen to the voice of God. And so how do you listen to the voice of God? Before you can hear the voice of God, you've got to be a sheep. And number two, before you can hear the voice of God, you have to realize that he says, my sheep, talking about possessive, God possesses you, my sheep, hear my voice. Now, let's go on and dissect this a little further. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and then look at what he says. This is really interesting. He says, I know them. I know who they are. How many of you, and I've said this so much, but it's just really bothered me this year. That scripture that says, you cast out demons in my name, and you heal the sick, and the dead was raised, and you get to heaven, and Jesus looks at you and says, I'm sorry, am I supposed to know you? Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I've never knew you. Knowing is an intimate knowledge. Anytime you see the word know, especially in the New Testament, it's gnosko, which means I know intimately, and it comes from the word where a man knows a woman sexually. Deep intimacy. You know where the pimple's at. You know where the flaw is. You know them well. And so he says that you're my sheep, possessive, and you can hear my voice. In other words, you have this understanding that this expectation that God's going to speak to you. How many believe God speaks to you? If you don't believe that, go stay in these altars the last 3 weeks. Two Friday nights ago, God woke me up at 2:30 in the morning and dropped a name in my spirit and said, pray for them. They're in trouble. I'd be doggone. Saturday morning, they were in huge trouble. His sheep know his voice, and he'll speak back to you. But you got, he says, not only that, he says, not only do my sheep know me, I know them. So it's a partnership of knowledge, of intimacy, where God knows you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to be in your presence. He wants you to take him to the mall. He wants you, and I'm being sacrilegious, he wants you to garden with him. He wants you to mow the yard with him. He wants you to know he's there when you're cookout and with your swimming pool in your backyard. God is omnipresent. It means he's everywhere. And so you can get to know God, even though church is a commandment for lots of reasons. I can't get into it, but you can take God anywhere with you. You realize that? And that's part of knowing him. Now, watch on. I know them, and here's how you know. How many of you would like to know how you know God? A lot of people claim to know God, but how many of you know some people don't really know him? He says, those that know me, follow me. This is good, simple stuff right here. What does the Bible say? If any man were to come after me, Luke 9:23, let him pick up his cross and follow me daily. Follow me daily. Follow me daily. What does follow me daily look like? Knowing, gnosko, hearing his voice, being his sheep, being able to listen to the voice of God. If you want to listen to the voice of God, you got to be his sheep. There has to be a possessiveness where God possesses you. Then you're going to hear his voice, and his voice is distinct. And I've always told new Christians the easiest way to know the voice of God from the devil outside of knowing the word is that the devil will nag you to death and God will reverberate. If it's the devil, he will nag you and say, do it, you shouldn't have done it, and just nag you to death. The spirit, the voice of Satan is a nagging voice. But the voice of God is a thunder and it reverberates, but he won't nag. You won't be able to walk away from it and you won't be able to shake it. But you're going to know it's still reverberating in your heart. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Let me see your hands. So when you hear the voice of God, always know the difference is that Satan nags you. He repeatedly speaks to you, nagging you with words. God will not do that. These nuts who go around saying they spoke to angels, I know you're a nut, or not in here, but I know people are nuts because they speak to angels, because angels are messengers. They don't go around having conversations with people. They give message. Look at the role of an angelic being in the Bible. And so you have to realize that you know it's the voice of God when he speaks, I told you no. Satan will go, you shouldn't have done it. You shouldn't have done it. You shouldn't have done it. You should never. You shouldn't have. I told you shouldn't have done it. You shouldn't have done it. You shouldn't have done it. And he'll nag you. Satan's voice nags you. God's voice reverberates in you. That's worth the price of admission. But he says, you can say that I'm yours, possessive sheep, possessive pronoun, my, and you can hear my voice because my voice is distinct. I know you and you know me, but the way we do the acid test, just like there was a tongue and interpretation of the second service Sunday, and I always listen. I don't care who gives it out. I always listen because it lines up with the word of God, and it did Sunday, exactly where the message was going. But the way you know that it's God is that you're following him. He says, if you love me, you'll do my will. So follow me. He said, those who love me, follow me. And he says, I'm going to give you eternal life. Now, this is real interesting, and I've never noticed this till I started studying for you for this. But how many of you know that scripture says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you? If you don't know him, you won't spend eternity with him. I didn't say if your name wasn't on the Baptist roll. I didn't say if you went to church every Sunday. I didn't say if you tithed. I didn't say if you volunteered. I said if you don't have an intimate walk with God, you don't know him. The only way you get to go to heaven is to know him. You don't get to go to heaven because you're bad. You don't get to go to heaven because you're good. You get to go to heaven because you know him as your Lord and Savior. Someone say amen. So eternal life is mentioned here And Jesus is speaking these words, but he puts eternal life there because it is impossible. It is impossible to be a possessive sheep, to know the distinction of his voice. The only way you know his idiosyncrasies or his, that's a bad word probably, but the only way you know his peculiarities is that you've spent time with him. How many of you have been, you've walked with God so much you understand when I say you can offend the Holy Spirit? Let me see heads. That's what I'm talking about. You know him that well, and he says, I know you, which is a reciprocal relationship. And he says, in the way that I know you and you know me, the way, the proof of it is that you follow me. You do what I ask you to do. And he says, this leads to eternal life. This leads to eternal life. This leads to eternal life. What leads to eternal life? Intimate knowledge of God. And then he says, you'll never perish. So he not only promises eternal life, but he says no hell. Let me tell you something, and I'm right in the middle of national research that actually fuels our catechism and the future of it. But do you know, I'm privy to this information, I'm going to tell you, I've had to make a promise to the University of Birmingham not to speak about this publicly for a year until they release me to speak about it. But one thing I want to share with you is after surveying 1,700 adolescents in the church in North America that are spirit-filled, I'm telling you an area, Reba, listen closely, hon, all you good teachers, that we've got to start addressing in the lives of our kids, and I'm going to do a whole sermon series about it in 2017, is the reality that there is a heaven and there is a hell. Because this is where they're weak. This is where they're struggling. They say, how can a good God throw me into hell? There's very logical conclusions to these things, but this is an area that people of God are struggling in right now. But God did not, I had to tell Aiden this the other day, God did not create hell for people. He created it for demonic beings. He didn't create it for humans. But Exodus says he will by no means clear the guilty. And so it's interesting that one of the things that is connected to the voice of God is that there is a reality of hell and you're not going there. Now that's fascinating to me. And how many of you would like to hear a sermon on why there's a hell and explain that subject? Can I see hands? It won't be tonight. And they'll never perish. Now watch this. I'm going to have to go over here. He says, no one is going to snatch them out of my hands. There'll be no snatching, which I think is interesting. I wish I had my Greek lexicon because I'd love to know how close that word is to the word parousia about the rapture, the catching away. There'll be no snatching out of my hands. So the word is there's a security with the believer. When you know him, he knows you. When you know him and you see him, he's going to go, hey, Sister Davis, good to see you this morning. He's not going to look at you and go, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. So how many of you are glad that when you know him, you can expect for him to know you? Right? So you know this is the case because he says specifically, when you hear the voice of God, there's a security that you are going to, there's a security, there'll be no snatching you out of my hand. There's a security that he talks about there. And he says, no one will snatch you out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And so now he begins to talk about authority. And he specifically begins to talk about the authority through the concept of the Father, who is the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He says, I do the will of my Father. I please my Father. My Father sent me. You see? And so he begins to talk about the order. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. So that's really good. Let me show you something. I didn't realize this when I studied for this. When in the New Testament, EFGH, in the New Testament, when you see something repeated, like right here, you see how Jesus said, no one is going to snatch them out of my hand. Then he says, the Father, and talks about the authority of the Godhead, the Father God. And then he says it again, no one's going to snatch them out of my Father's hands. Listen, folks, your ears need to stand up. You need to perk up, because the Greek never has to repeat itself. If John wanted to use another Greek word in this F section where it says no snatching, where there's a security, he could have easily put a tense on the ending of that Greek word through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and never had to say it again and say the same thing. So when you see something repeated in the Greek, which would be the New Testament, your ears need to perk up, because God is placing a huge emphasis on what's being repeated. As a matter of fact, there's entire ways in which you interpret the Bible called social rhetorical criticism. And that's where you take the story of the rich man and Lazarus, and you put how many times he said hell, and how many times he said Lazarus, and how many times he said rich man, and how many times he said no water, and how many times he said go. And you look at that, and you back up from the scriptures, and you see the repetitive of the words. It's called social rhetorical criticism. Great way to study the Word of God and get the emphasis out of it. Here, he repeats himself, and he says, and this is interesting, he says, part of knowing my voice is knowing you're secure. That'll preach. That you don't have to walk around in condemnation. And he says, the authority of the Father is telling you that you're not going to get snatched from his hands when you know his voice. And he says, and he sums it up. Look at how he sums it up. And he says, the Father and I are what? One. The Father and I are one. So when you listen to the voice of God, let's use another scripture real quick, okay? Go to Psalms 5. In Psalms chapter 5. Psalms chapter 5, verse 7. But I enter your house by the abundance of your faithful love. Oh boy, that'll preach. Let's write this down over here. Let's make another Psalms 5. Okay? And he says, I enter your house. Now, watch this. Hold that verse right there and go to Luke. And go to the verse we were talking about a few weeks ago. I can find it real quick. Here it is. Thank you so much. Luke 11:24. I knew it was in Luke. Luke 24. Now look at what he just said in Psalms about. He says, I enter into your house. Now look at this one. Luke 11:24 says, when an unclean spirit. What is an unclean spirit? It's a demon. When an unclean spirit comes out of a man. And don't ever think that there's not real demonic activity. You don't make a boogeyman out of it. You don't spend time speaking to it, because Jesus has already given you authority over devils. Amen? But they are real, and you are fighting spiritual warfare, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and darkness of the air and spiritual wickednesses in high places, Ephesians 6. So he says, when a demon comes out of a man, it roams through waterless places. It goes to dry places in your life. But it says, I'll go back to the house. So the word house is always a metaphor in the scriptures for a human being's body. You are a body, a soul, and a spirit. And in this particular case, I do not believe Christians can be demon possessed, but what I do believe is that you can be so dry and not spirit filled that your house may be in order and you may have salvations, but you can be tormented by demons. And he says, I'll go back to the house I came from. Now go back to Psalms 5. He says, Psalms 5 verse 7. But I enter your house. And I want you to notice the possessive pronoun again. I enter your house. And what did he say over here? He says, the sheep know my voice. And he says, I know them. And he says, you are my sheep. Personal pronoun. There's a possessiveness there that God needs to possess you. He says, I enter into your house. How many of you want God to come to your house? All right? And he says, I enter your house by the abundance. Oh, good Lord, this is good. By the abundance. Oh, my goodness, this is encouraging me. Abundance of your faithful. The next sermon series we're getting ready to do is called Faithful. Faithful love. Ooh. Now, I want to ask you something. How many of you know, and I don't mean to be vulgar, but that's why we pay big money for children's church. That's why junior high is exploding. But how many of you know when you have sex with a human being, it doesn't mean you can have sex with a human being and not love them? Not know them, be intimate there. It's just a physical act. He says, I know them and you know me. So what's the fruit of really knowing? You can go to church and go through the motions and not know him. You can go through and volunteer and give to Sweat Equity and all those things, but that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is that you know him. And he says, I'll enter into your house by the abundance of your faithful love. This is so good because he says, the sheep that know my voice, I'm not looking for a one-night stand. I'm not looking for, I'm no prostitute. You don't get intimate with me for what's in my hand. God's saying to all of us, I want a real relationship where you love me and I love you. Think about Homer and Gomer. Where God tells Homer, you go back to Gomer. And Homer says to God, she's been unfaithful to me. She slept with many people, and God said, that's exactly how you've done me spiritually. So what God is wanting is he's wanting faithfulness. He's wanting an intimate relationship. You want to talk about how to get your prayers answered? I mean, doesn't it make sense that if you hear the voice of God, then you could speak back and ask him for something? Isn't that powerful? To know that if I can recognize the voice of God, then I can speak to him. If I can recognize that voice, I can speak to him. If I can recognize that voice, then he's there and I can connect with him. Instead of just hearing voices in my head or just never really connecting with anyone, I can't connect with someone I can't recognize. And so this intimacy, I know you possessive, you are my sheep, possessive pronoun. You can hear my voice, which is, you know, the distinctions about me. I know you and you know me, and the reason I know you and you know me, the proof of it is that you follow me, you do what I ask you to do, and because you do what I ask you to do, you're going to have eternal life and you don't have to worry about hell, so much to the point that no one's ever going to snatch you out of my hand because you are secure, because the authority that I'm speaking to you in right now not comes from myself but comes from the Father, and he is going to make sure that you've not snatched out of my hands. Because the Father and I are one. I enter into your house. Just like a demon can enter into your house. I enter into your house. How? This is the question of the ages. How do you get God to come home with you? Through the abundance of your faithful love. Isn't it interesting? He just didn't say agape. That he didn't just say philo, which are all Greek words for love. He didn't just say eros. Oh, no, no, no. He said, I enter into your faithful love. How many of you would love to get the attention of God tonight? Be faithful. That's why you got to stand still in the battle. That's why you can't run off, dig your roots up. Be faithful. And he says, if you do it in abundance, I'll enter into your house through the abundance of your faithful love. So doesn't it make sense that God gets closer to you the more that you love? Doesn't it make sense to know who knows God is the one that loves much? I always get worried when I see a Christian leader not walking in love because something's wrong with their pipes. Amen? Amen? All right. I entered your house by your abundance of your faithful love. My goodness, that's deep for me tonight. I just love that. I bow down towards your holy temple. I entered your house by the abundance of your faithful love. Now, switch that around. How do you get into God's house? What attracts you to God's house? The abundance of your faithful love. The abundance of your faithful love attracts me to you. I enter into your house, God's temple. And he says, I bow down. And he says, I do it in the temple. He says, in reverential awe. There's a reverence. And there's an awe. Because when you know him, watch this. When you know him, you know that he's holy. And when you get into his presence, you just want to bow down. You know that when you come to the temple, even so much more when you see the time appearing. And you know that you don't leave your crumbs and your crackers in this church on Sunday mornings because you revere his house. And then he says, Lord, lead me in your righteousness because of my adversaries. Make your way straight. And so he talks about being led. How many of you would love to have God lead you? Give you direction? That's amazing to me right there. I wish I don't have time to get to the other. You've got to form your spirit if you're going to be a disciple. I'm getting ready, and you have to pray because I got to pray through on this one. In 2017, I'm going to do a whole new sermon series on soul ties, where you have to be very careful what you let in your soul. Your mind, your will, your intellect, your emotions. You've got to be very careful who you let in. But when you form your spirit, you do it through the word of God. You do it with praying without ceasing. You do it with worship and spirit and truth. And you do it by learning and developing how to hear the voice of God. So how do you develop in hearing the voice of God? You must become possessed by God. Personal pronoun, he possesses you. That's where you get propitiation. He paid the price for your sins. That's where you get justification. He makes you just as if you never sinned. That's where you get regeneration. That's possessiveness. And then when you are possessed by him, you'll know the distinctions of his voice. And he will know you and you will know him. And the proof that you know him is that you follow him. You do what he says to do. And then he promises you eternal life to where you don't have to worry about hell. Isn't it interesting? Before you got saved, you never worried about going to hell. And now that you're saved, the devil tells you you're going to hell all the time. And he says, no one's going to snatch you from my hand because you're secure. My Father is the one that's given me this authority, and my Father says no one's going to snatch you. Why? Because the Father and I are one. So if you want to know God, you enter into his house with and the abundance of his faithful love draws you. And how do you respond when you hear the voice of God or when you are in God's presence? You bow. You humble yourself. You do it in the temple, and you do it with reverence where there's a sense of awe of his presence. And then watch him lead you and speak to you and give you the direction you need. But too many people want to hear the voice of God and be led because that's what the voice is for, to lead you. But they don't know the word, therefore they're led the wrong way. They have no intimate knowledge with God. They do not pray. They only worship and praise. They never worship and worship. And they try to hear the word of God, but yet they're not possessed by him. often there, you know, you can step back from this right here and you can see how people go astray with God. I want to show you somebody goofy. They always hear the voice of God, but they're never still or possessed. They're never steadfast. They don't do what he says. They say, I don't care what the Bible says. I've had people tell me that. They're usually legalistic and sending people to hell left and right. There is no security in them. There isn't, because let me tell you something. There cannot be any security if you don't understand his love. It's his love that gives you security because you know him. Goofy people don't know him because they're insecure in their faith and they're not full of love. If you really want to know who's heard the voice of God, look at who's faithful, look at who loves in abundance and who is secure in their faith. You'll know someone who knows him. And the Father and I are one, and then you're led by God. Well, I'm done. I got done early. So anybody get anything out of this? Let me tell you where we're going. We're going to go next. We're going to keep adding out dimensions. It's very important I get my language right with you as we do this. We're going to add other dimensions. The next dimension is going to be next Wednesday, pursuing biblical principles of living. In other words, another characteristic of discipleship is a passion to understand how the Bible applies to contemporary issues. In other words, you know you're a disciple when you can take the Bible and apply it to contemporary issues. And know the ways of God. Then we're going to talk about, you know, you're a saved and you're spiritually forming into the soul God wants you to be when you share the gospel wisely with other people. And then you know that you're spiritually forming when you enjoy the fellowship of the local church, and you know you're spiritually forming when you cultivate solitude, when you learn to be quiet before God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you. I thank you, God, that sometimes, Lord, you speak to us and we don't even want to leave. And then there's times, God, you say what you want to say and then we're done. Father, I pray, God, no matter whether it's short or long, we obey. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. I'll see you soon.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.